B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
As long as you've been in the business, Greg, and you've known that the Buccaneers, with the attendance lagging and the lack of national exposure and just not being relevant for years, 12 years without a playoff win, what this means to Tampa Bay as a community, economically, we took such a hit with all the cancellations of the events that were coming here and were all canceled. What does it mean to Tampa Bay as a community to have the GOAT here?
It's crazy. I can't even put a number on it. It's just, it's enormous. In terms of taking a team and giving it immediate national relevance, I think Jameis Winston played 3 Monday night games in 5 seasons. The Bucs are going to have some primetime games this year, Sunday night games, Monday, not just Thursday night games, but Sunday, Monday night, primetime, entire country watching you slots. You know, they're 30th in the league in attendance. That's not going to be the case this fall. Jersey sales. Tom Brady was the number one selling jersey in the NFL last year when he'd been in the same jersey for the same team for 20 years. So they're going to sell a lot of Tom Brady jerseys. Whenever we see what that jersey looks like, whenever we figure out if it's 12 or whatever number he's wearing, there's going to be a lot of them all over Tampa this fall. So yeah, he's going to have an impact on this team. Definitely between the sidelines, on the field, don't get me wrong, but there's a big economic impact that comes just with adding Tom Brady to your franchise.
So again, that's our Greg Aumann, the Athletic Tampa Bay Buccaneers reporter, and what it's feeling like down in Tampa. That's an interesting nugget. I didn't realize that Brady still has the best-selling jersey in the league. And that is something. When you're at a place for 20 years, you figure everyone who would want a Brady jersey by this point has bought a Brady jersey.
Exactly.
But apparently not.
When he put it in those terms, I found that detail stunning. I went, wow, that's a great point. Like, because you tend to overlook it. You think you sort of look at them in a vacuum. He's been wearing the same jersey for 20 years, and it was number one in the league last year. That's amazing.
Stu?
It's a little misleading because there was a switch from Reebok to Nike recently.
And people would rebuy it because they want the Nike versus Reebok?
Yeah. Different fabrics, different comfort styles, all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm not a memorabilia guy or a merch guy.
I am.
I don't get you people. Like, I don't get it. How much do you spend on that crap? Yeah.
There were still people down there wearing Zolak jerseys, for crying out loud.
Well, people love this stuff.
No, my point is they didn't rebuy. Like, they're still wearing those. Like, you know, I'm sorry. I think it speaks singularly to the power of the player.
So they wanted the Nike? It's the same jersey.
Right.
No, but the different logo. That means it's now
and comfort
and
level,
fresh.
Too.
Yeah,
so different, you mean brand
fabrics,
logo.
Branding, yeah.
Ay-vey, you people. What if you save that money and put a kid through college? No, let's be sure to get both the Nike and Reebok Brady jersey. Jesus. And they're hundreds of dollars, right?
Oh, yeah, typically, yeah.
And your stupid tennis shoes.
The stitched ones are like $400 a pop.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'd love to find out, and you know, someone could look this up easily, including me, but I'm not going to do it. I bet you Patrick Mahomes is in the top 2 or 3, and he's new to the league.
Yeah, I think it was Lamar Jackson. I thought he was number one.
Okay, but what's your point?
So my point is it validates the fact that it's Brady. It's about Brady.
Yes, it is. Don't listen to Stu.
It's about Brady.
Agreed, it's about Brady. Agreed it is. And so what does that mean in Tampa? So, I mean, hell, if you had to get a new Brady jersey because you wanted the swoosh versus the Reebok thingy, what are you going to do when it's a whole new jersey? So those are going to be through the roof. And what is ironical, if you will.
Mahomes is too.
The Patriots are going to make more money off the Brady jerseys as a Buccaneer than a Patriot.
Correct.
Because, again, merchandise is shared. The only merchandise that's not shared among all 32 teams is merchandise sold in your own pro shop. So, I mean, that's a finite number versus what you can buy on Fanatics or wherever you people are wasting your money on the stupid merch. All that is shared. So, but the Patriots are going to make more money off of Brady jerseys as a Buccaneer than they would with him as a Patriot. Probably, for all intents and purposes,
yeah, right? Right.
And so, I mean, can you sell Brady Tampa jerseys in the Patriots pro shop?
There's no shot they would do that.
Oh, yeah, you can sell other teams' jerseys in the pro shop.
Oh, I think they could totally do it, but they won't.
Do they?
That would be weaselly, wouldn't it?
Hey, it's America. It's capitalism.
I've seen visiting team jerseys in the Patriots Pro Shop before, yeah.
Have you? With names, yeah. The whole thing? Mahomes jerseys in the Pats Pro Shop?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't go
maybe
in
not
enough.
Within the last year, but I do remember them down there.
So yeah, they still sell the Amendola jerseys in there?
Or they at half price.
Apparently, there have been, you know, the season tickets have gone through the roof there. They've bumped up the prices. As Florio writes, an exercise in economics has played out in Tampa where the Buccaneers have wisely adjusted, that's one way to put it, adjusted the price point for tickets to see the team play. According to, again, our Greg Allman here of The Athletic, the Buccaneers have bumped up the price of all non-club seats at Raymond James Stadium by 15%. For season tickets, the increase ranges from $135 to $255 each, et cetera, et cetera. If you called their Ticketmaster down there or their season ticket line, there were backups of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. They were the 30th, as he just said there. They ranked 30th in attendance last year. That ain't going to happen next year. He's going to have a real impact down there. Thank God. Maybe this is true, too. Like,
they're going to make half their money back before he plays a game.
Tampa is not one of these places that they did fan polls and said, we'd rather have Jameis Winston than Tom Brady. You know, like they did in San Francisco, and it was 80-20 Garoppolo over Brady, or all the New York idiots that called us, we'd rather have Daniel Jones, or, you know, all this lukewarm interest. Didn't they have one in Tennessee that was 60-40 Daniel?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
These freaking morons.
It's redundant to call them New York idiots.
I mean, I don't know if this was so off the radar. I don't know if Tampa did those kind of polls, but I don't think you're hearing people down there pine for Jameis Winston
because they don't care enough.
Right, you throw 30 interceptions. You want to run that guy right out of town.
I'll tell you, as bad as the Bucs are, and you know how I feel about the Bucs, worst winning percentage in football since they entered the league, I didn't realize they were 30th in attendance. That's pathetic.
Pathetic.
That is pathetic. Because it's not like there's bad weather down there on top of it. Like, football, is in theory, should be king. You should never, never fall short of selling out an NFL game. Ever. You have 8 regular season home dates a year. The weather's perfect. It's a great take whether the team sucks or not. And they couldn't sell out? Wow, that is pathetic. That is real. That's the lowest of the low in that league, if you ask me. That is pathetic.
Well, that's the Bucks.
Wow.
That's the Bucks. But at least there's a team thinking big there. And it makes sense that just from a football standpoint, you know, never mind that. The business standpoint. The Glazers, you know, that it's business. And there's going to be tie-ins there. You know there's got to be some sort of tie-in there with they own Man United, you know, that huge franchise. Talk about a great brand. Talk about the antithesis of the Bucks. The Man U's fallen on hard times. They haven't been as good the last several years as they have been in the past, but that's the New York Yankees. That's the Yankees of the English Premier League. It's like one of the – when you look at the valuable franchises in all of sports, right? It's like –
they're Yankee, number one, I think.
Yankees, Cowboys, Man U. I mean, I don't know. They're up there. It's like they're a top 2-3 team in the world in terms of franchise brand. And the Glazers, you have to wonder if the Glazers and Brady, are there's some sort of business deal there and TB12 in London and TB12 overseas and all of that. There has to be.
Got to be. I mean, got to be. It's got to be a huge element for Brady. There's got to be some wink, wink, nod, nod somewhere in there. Has to be.
How many New England fans jumped online, got season tickets down there? Murray knows a guy.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Is that true? You weren't making that up?
Swear my mother's grave. He sent me the screen cap. He got them. I was like, what are you going to do?
And he's like, my father lives in Clearwater.
Yeah, my father lives one town over. I'll just fly down. And he plans to try to sell some of the other games and recoup his money. He thinks it's a good business investment. I don't know how you can at this time. What with the,
right? Are they going to be crashing the games?
Yeah, but no, he felt like it was a good investment, and that's what he's going to do, and go down to a handful of games, and I can't imagine he's alone in terms of being a Brady super fan that did something like that. If he had that kind of extra money,
yeah, he lives right near there. Yeah, I just drive over the causeway. Sometimes we hang out in Ybor City.
We talked about this yesterday. They're going to have more national TV games than the Patriots
for sure.
They're going to be a more interesting watch than the Patriots. They're going to be, I don't know if they become marquee overnight, but they have juice suddenly.
They do.
And you can't, like, the price for juice is, it's invaluable. It's priceless. You can't put a price on that, which is why, again, I think you're right, Mass, to look at the Chargers and say,
idiots,
how do you not make Brady an offer he can't refuse? You overpaying him is worth it. Right now, the Patriots, it makes no sense to overpay because you've done your winning. You have to reset. You're in a different place. But for these franchises that need juice, you can't. It's impossible to just buy overnight unless you make a signing like that.
I mean, they should have been willing. If Brady went to them and said, and as has been reported, listen, the starting point to get in the game, the ante at the table is 2 years and 60, fully guaranteed. Okay, and there were two teams willing to do it. Given the state tax in California versus Florida, which, again, we said earlier, was like 13.3% to 0% in Florida.
Real money.
Okay, so you got to make up that difference right out of the gate. And then you should throw money on top of it. They should have come in somewhere like 2 years and 70 or 75 at a minimum.
No, no. You'll get the extra year if you want it.
I mean,
is that two at 60? It's three at 90.
Right. I mean, now that I say two at 70, that's not enough because you're going to lose that. That's only a 12 and a, actually, it is enough, but never mind. We won't do the math.
The Chargers are freaking going with Tyrod Taylor.
Morons.
How do you expect
morons
to carve out any market out there, create any sort of buzz?
The team should just tweet out a middle finger to their official account.
Do any sort of business with going with, you would have been better off sticking with Philip Rivers for the year, for crying out loud. Seriously. What are you doing?
You got me. I don't get it.
Well, it shows you why Dean Spanos doesn't have the best reputation throughout the league. Like, he's a close-minded idiot. You know, they're just happy to operate.
They're small-timers.
Yeah, they are.
They really are, though. They really are.
Small-time family ownership that became, you know, I don't know if they're billionaires, but hundreds of millionaires just because they own the football team, just because their dad, a million years ago, scrapped together, you know, a couple thousand bucks, literally. I mean, when the Sullivans got in on the Patriots, I think they... $25,000 was the buy-in, or $50,000. It was something like that. And the old man got in, and the next thing you know, so, but the Spanos has just kept it and kept it and kept it. So that's all they are, is that small-timers.
Oh, God, really? It's an easy decision. It's a layup. You can't pay Brady too much to play out there if you're them. They should have offered him like 2-80. 2-80, 40 per, will blow everybody else out of the water. Come play for us.
Seriously. Okay, so there's that, the impact in Tampa. And even though it's still not official... It's still not official. Patriots fans still holding out hope there, Murray?
They were last night on Twitter, which was very annoying. Like, this is going to fall through. He's going to come back. Like, okay, yeah, and you're going to win Powerball, too.
Yeah, Bill's going to win again.
He's not.
I'm rooting for the mystery team.
Okay, the buzz in Tampa. Add it to the list with your calls next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ira Kaufman told me that the lead item on the NBC local affiliate news last night wasn't COVID-19, wasn't the Florida primary, it was Tom Brady is coming to Tampa. They're flooding the phone lines to ultimately get season tickets. And that jersey is going to sell like no jersey has ever sold before. And Chris, I looked at the schedule today. They've got at home, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, Patrick Mahomes, your homie and my homie,
awesome,
coming to Tampa. Jared Goff and the Rams go to Tampa. The Vikings and Kirk Cousins, the Chargers who were spurned by Tom Brady. Oh, by the way, he plays Drew Brees twice, combined quarterback age of 84. Road games at Detroit against Matt Patricia and the Lions and Matthew Stafford. They go to face the Giants, a team that's 2-0 against Brady in the Super Bowl. They go to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. They go to Denver, where Brady has always struggled. This is one hell of a schedule, Chris. I was excited about the 49ers schedule with Brady because they go to New England. This is the best schedule you could get without Brady playing the Patriots. And who knows, maybe come early February, maybe if the world gets back on its axis, it'll be the Patriots and the Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55 in Tampa.
I don't tease me with that. But we got a lot of bunch of topics on the table. Belichick's legacy post-Brady, how important it is for him. He's got more on the line than anybody. If he falls on his face after Brady leaves, people are going to hold it against him. They're going to hold it against him more than they hold it against any other coach, any other great coach. You don't hear it about Lombardi. You don't hear it about Paul Brown. You don't hear it about even Bill Walsh. What was Bill Walsh without Joe Montana? I don't hear that. I just hear Bill Walsh being an innovator and a great coach and an all-timer. But Belichick absolutely gets it thrown in his face. What was he without Tom Brady? the Cleveland record. And if he goes back to Cleveland records here in New England post-Brady, he's going to wear it unlike any other coach. He's got the most to lose, I think, in this by far. So, and if Brady goes and falls on his face, I think people say he's 43. What do you expect? He's supposed to fall on his face. And I don't think they'll hold it against him. I don't think they will. Not like they hold it against Bill.
And I do think most people in the court of public opinion feel that Brady was pushed out so that it wasn't his decision.
And that's another thing. Bill, you wanted this. This was your call, so you better succeed. 100% right.
Yeah, I mean, it's Brady was sort of reacting, whereas Bill chose it. And so that'll be another element that works against him.
Okay, Mass's opening take was on the mass exodus out of New England, not just Brady, but all the guys that left this year, all the coaches that have left the last couple. Are they in for a total rebuild? I certainly hope not. That's on the table. And the atmosphere in Tampa now with Brady. That's it. Those topics with your calls. Jim in the car, bring us back. What do you got?
Hey, guys, I just think that Belichick is going to be completely get into his head. He's going to be completely re-energized with this team. The cloud has been lifted for him. He's going to be licking his chops, looking, because he hates to be wedded to any player, right?
Yep.
So what he's going to do is he's going to turn this into a rallying point for the team. And, I mean, you know, the defense wins championships. That's his mantra. So, you know,
well, even though,
like individual with basketball, right, where, you know, you can't, I don't even know who came up with that notion.
Hey, Jim?
Yep.
I've never heard him say defense wins championships.
Me neither.
It's also not true. It's just a cliche that people like to use because cliches are easy. Balance wins championships. I tend to think quarterbacks in this day and age win championships.
Although he could make a case for that last one against the Rams, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a balance of all of them. Like, there's no one thing that wins championships.
You got to be able to win a lot of different ways.
You got to be balanced. Balance wins championships. So, but Bill doesn't believe defense wins championships. He wants to have good quarterback play like anybody else. But I do believe Bill's going to be motivated because Bill knows it. Bill's sensitive to it. Bill is sensitive to the whole, what have you done without Brady? He's sensitive to it. So he is going to be motivated. What does a motivated coach look like?
Good question.
We all know what a motivated player looks like. What does a motivated coach look like? I hope we see it.
Well, so I think the trick is you better get players who are coachable and who will buy in, which is, again, this is why McCourty and Slater are here. And the more time that goes on, by the way, I think it bears repeating. Oh, what a package deal that McCourty thing was. With all these guys that are taking off, Roberts, Karras, you know, they're going to give $5.5 million to Jason McCourty when they drafted Juwan Williams last year? That was a deal, whether it was completely blatant or not. That was, we'll take care of your brother, you come back too.
And Bill did it to keep the locker room.
Absolutely, because again, I think this is a huge part of what he loses in Brady is the buy-in. And McCourty, Devin in particular, Devin's a big buy-in guy. It's one of the reasons we love him, and I love him so much.
Derek and
Real pro.
Derek in Foxborough, hi.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the reasons people hold the Brady thing against Belichick is, look at the coaching tree. You know, Walsh had this incredible tree of Mike Holmgren, John Gruden, mm-hmm. Andy Reid came from that system. You know, other guys implemented his system in one. When other guys have tried to implement Belichick's system, it hasn't worked because they don't have Brady. And so I think that's why people think it's more Brady than Belichick.
No, that's a good one, Derek. I think that's also held against Bill. That's also held against Bill, his coaching tree.
It makes sense when he says it that way.
Now, I think people look at his coaching tree harder than anybody else's. Again, and I think Maz really hit on it, that Bill's a tough guy to like and warm up to. So I think people want to take shots at him. They want to find something to poke holes in him because they don't like him. So they hold the quarterback thing over his head and they hold the coaching tree over his head. What was Vince Lombardi's coaching tree?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Me neither. That's my team. And I don't even think he had him. I remember, I know that both he and Landry were on the same staff with the Giants, and they came from the same, I don't even remember who the coach was with the New York Giants at the time, but that's where they both came from. But, what you know, did Vince Lombardi spawn these great assistant coaches? What's Shula's coaching tree?
No idea.
No one mentions it.
His stupid son.
No one mentions it. No one even brings up Shula's coaching tree. And he's still alive. He's older than dirt. The guy's a fossil. He coached forever. You know how many assistant coaches came up and around through him? Does anyone say, well, what's your coaching tree? No one. They do it to Bill because they don't like him and they want to find things to hold against him. You're so right.
Oh, gosh, no, they can't stand him. And look, again, Bill brings some of this on himself because of his personality. Now, look, and I say he brings it on himself. He is who he is. I mean, he's wired a certain way. He didn't choose necessarily to be a dink, but sometimes he does. Oftentimes he does with the media, whatever, but his personality is what it is. I just think, you know, when you're like that and you're good, oh, people are waiting for you to screw up. They are. They're waiting for each other because they want to kick the crap out of you.
When we get into these conversations and it gets a little historical, Belichick and Parcells and Bledsoe and all of this, a certain individual pokes his head out.
I know who it is.
From whatever cave he lives in. It's like Halley's Comet once every 96 years or whatever. Just at the right time, he pokes his head out and we hear from him.
Like the groundhog.
Belichick Parcells is the comment line, so it has to be Alan Everett. What's up, pal?
I love you guys. Baz, you're the best. Felga, two things real quick on the first thing. One thing everyone's missing on the quarterback thing, right? One thing everyone's missing is that back when in pre-Bill Walsh days, Bill Walsh and before, the quarterback position, it wasn't as important as it is now.
That's true.
I mean, with the rules, it's night and day. You had to coach defense, offense. You had to have a running game. Well, you agree on that, right?
Absolutely. So Paul Brown's not exactly fair to bring up, but Bill Walsh, it was an open game when he took over. No one holds a quarterback against Bill Walsh.
But it was still a different game. You could hold, you could grab, even in those days, Michael. You know what I mean? But Tony, I mean, we got to do this XO thing and give you a couple of minutes to go back and forth because we can have a healthy debate here. I could go on and on. You say the X's and O's. You would take Belichick over Parcells. Do you know Parcells? All right, the one game that Belichick's been living off of for years is that 80s, that Super Bowl with the Bills, where
they, I know the game, but get to the point, Al.
Okay, so you know that they held the ball, that Parcells' offense held the ball for 39 minutes in
yes.
that game. Okay, that's how they won the game, not because of defense. Bill, what's his name? Who's the quarterback for the Bills? Kelly. Kelly, you said it a million times. They didn't stop us at all. Bill Belichick didn't
Al,
stop us.
Al.
We put every time we got it.
Al, quick question for you. Who's a better coach, Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells?
Come on, it's not even close. He won with Ray Lucas.
Answer.
Belger, he won. He was 6-2 with Ray Lucas. He got to the playoffs with Quincy Carter. Quincy Carter. This guy has had the greatest quarterback of all time for 20 years in a division that's terrible. Parcells had a 10-0 lead in Denver against John Elway with Vinny Testaverde. Come on, I could go on
hold,
and on.
Yeah, well, hold on. I mean, you're leaving out the best example. Parcells got to a Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe, Al. He got to a Super Bowl with that stiff, that lumbering dinosaur oaf. That's how good Bill Parcells was. He got to a Super Bowl and got to the second half in the game, in the Super Bowl, with Drew freaking Bledsoe. So, Al, at least he's playing the same tune.
He hasn't changed at all yet.
It's the same tune.
Oh, he's still playing 45, so who are you kidding?
20 years later, it's the same call. Love it. Same crappy phone.
Belichick's a better coach. Let's not be stupid.
Belichick's a better coach. They hold the quarterback thing against him. It's held against him. And that's why Bill needs this. Bill needs success post-Brady to shut that guy and others like him up.
No question. I mean, again, it's just it. And if it goes bad, which is why I told you, I throw out Cleveland, but I also throw out everything that happened here without Brady because the thing was built. And so it almost ran itself in some ways because Bill had built such a structure and Brady bought in. I put it at 50-50. I don't know which way it's going.
And Al, I forgot to ask you. When Bill Parcells took Vinny Testaverde to the AFC title game, who was his defensive coordinator? Well, I think it was Bill. When Bill Parcells took Drew Bledsoe to the Super Bowl, who was on his defensive staff? Well, I think it was Bill. When Bill Parcells won those Super Bowls with the Giants, who was his lead guy?
Belichick.
It was Belichick.
Belichick!
I'm just saying. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Greg, it's not that Jeff Vinnick, Bill Gates, and Derek Jeter convinced Brady at Burns to come here. You debunked that story, correct?
It's a really weird deal. Yeah, there was this tweet from a guy on NFL Network last night that there was this amazing dinner at Burns on Sunday, and Brady's getting wooed by Jeter and Vinnick and Bill Gates. It'd be an amazing thing. It'd be an amazing thing to, like, be at the table or just be sitting at the restaurant. You're like, I think that's I'm Brady.
Right?
That looks a lot like Jeter. Is that Bill Gates? And it would seem like a really cool thing and the kind of thing you'd do to try and get Tom Brady to come to Tampa. But as we talked to the people for all those three, all of them denied the dinner taking place. Like, Vinnick's people with Lightning said that he wasn't there, and Jeter's people with the Marlins said he was in Jupiter doing coronavirus things with the Marlins. And even Bill Gates' foundation said, no, he didn't take that dinner. So it's a neat story. It looks like it's entirely fictional, which is, I think it's funny that Brady isn't even signed here yet, and we're making up stories about him.
Right, isn't it great? Isn't it great? Greg Allman, again, down there in Tampa. I sort of feel bad when I heard that story. And again, I think everything's true. I don't debunk anything. That he had a dinner Saturday night with Gates, Vinnick, who is a Tampa Bay Lightning owner, also the Magellan Fund guy, you know, billionaire, gazillionaire. Jeter, Vinnick, Gates, Brady, the League of Exceptional Gentlemen, right? Just like a power dinner. I thought, good for Tom. At least, you know, it's a suckbag franchise in a suckbag city. But at least he's being wooed by the greats of the greats. And, you know, he's in this elite. He's still got this elite tier that apparently exists in Tampa that I didn't really figure did exist in Tampa. And so good for him. He's finding his people and his milieu, if you will. Well, it turns out no.
No, and the Miami Heat also sent Kelly Olynyk up there. They wanted him, you know, they wanted to represent him at the meeting.
Turns out nobody. But there are a lot of, there's a Yankee influence in Tampa because of the spring training, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I think the Steinbrenners have a compound down there, yeah.
So, like, the Jeter, maybe, but Gates in Tampa?
Yeah, apparently he and that owner and that Vinnick guy are trying to build up the area and build us infrastructure and have it be some sort of, I don't know, tech hub spot, apparently, on the East Coast.
Okay, well, fine. Like, so then I'd say, okay, Tommy, it's Tampa. You know, you've just gone to Cooterville. You've just gone to, I mean, whatever.
Seriously, though.
The backwoods, like, Yahooville.
Strip joint central.
But at least you're finding your people. Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
No, it's a complete fabrication.
The dinner never happened. It didn't exist.
Really? Like, I just,
Tampa.
I think it's a hellhole.
Come on. Jesus, Brady. Tampa. That's how badly he wanted out of here. That's how badly he wanted out of here. He has agreed to go to freaking Tampa Bay.
Mons Venus, 2001, A Space Odyssey, or whatever it is. The Dollhouse.
Jamie and Shrewsbury.
How do you know all these, Matt?
The Red Sox played the Rays down there all the time. God, it's a hellhole.
Jamie and Shrewsbury, go, Jamie.
Hey, I was just curious. You know, supposedly Kraft swoops in, saves Brady the first time around, and says, Tom, you know, you used up your favor. Next time this happens, I can't really help you. And basically, he's just placing that in Bill's hands. And I think it was like a two-part system to let him go because he's such a big figure, you know. And I don't know if that's crazy or not. It was just something that I was thinking. And also, Tampa Bay is in between Brazil and California. It does make sense. So if you get input on the team, you're getting paid. And the location...
It makes a little bit of, it makes a little more sense than LA, but not a ton. I don't know. It's still hours in the air, whether you're flying from LA to Costa Rica or Tampa to Costa Rica or Tampa to Brazil or LA to Brazil. About two or three more hours in the air in your private jet. Is that really the factor? Is that really? Yes, it's 2.5 hours back to New York versus 5.5, 6 from LA. So it's a couple more hours in the air in your private jet. Is that really the difference? Because, again, San Francisco was his first choice. So that ain't any closer than any of them.
Yeah, I think it's a convenient thing to throw out there. Does this qualify as a nice place that Giselle was talking about?
Boston?
No, Tampa.
No.
Hell no. Hopefully someplace nice.
Hell no.
Tampa.
No way.
Holy crap.
No shot. Did you get his first point about a two-tiered plan to let Brady go?
No, he lost me. Well, I have no idea what the hell the guy was talking about.
But there's definitely layers there. Like, you know, Kraft wants to blame Brady or Bill. I wanted to keep him. You know how I felt, but we got to let the coach make his decision. And Brady wanted to leave anyway. And, you know, maybe even Bill gets to wash his hands because the guy wouldn't even talk to me when it came time to say goodbye. He went over to the owner's house, not mine. And, you know, we had one conversation. It was short. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's layers in people covering themselves, if that's what you mean. That's for sure. No one really wants to own it. Brady doesn't want to own it. Kraft doesn't want to own it. Bill might be fine owning it-ish, but I'm sure he's sensitive to it, too. So I'm not sure if that's what you were talking about. Dennis in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hi. I think last year you nailed it, Felger, when you said that Brady, you know, wanted that individual moment where he broke the touchdown record. And I think that all the teams that were interested in him, Tampa gave him the best shot at just padding his stats before he walked away.
So I do wonder about that, Dennis. Was that a big factor here? Is one of the reasons Tampa, landed Tampa because he's going to put up better numbers than he would for Anthony Lynn in San Diego?
Maybe.
Los Angeles, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I mean, I still think the offense in with the Chargers would have been good. So
not as good as this one.
No, this one feels like just...
I mean, who's Brady working with there? Brady knows that Arians he can work with.
So that's a good point.
And could think on his level or close to it and be at his level and adjust on his level because he's worked with greats before and he's had great offenses before. In L.A. with the Chargers, Lynn is a defensive guy, and if you can remember the name of the offensive coordinator they told you the other day, I'll give you a gold star.
No clue.
I remember, you looked him up. Yeah, and he was, I think...
Harold Fenefesi, I think, was his name.
And he's just some Chargers lifer. He started as like a ball boy there and worked his way up.
Yeah, I have no clue. The brain power in Tampa on offense is just way higher.
Mass. And the Bucs last year were a pinball offense.
They were.
With a bad quarterback.
Yeah, they were.
So Brady looks at that and says, if I just do what Winston did without the interceptions, it's like we're setting records.
I mean, so I was just about to say, I wouldn't rule out some sort of record-threatening year down there on offense. I wouldn't rule that out. Now, can they play defense well enough to win? Can they make the right decisions and execute at the end of games?
To that caller's point, is that what's most important to Brady right now?
No.
Or does he want to pass Breeze and, you know, stay ahead of Breeze on that touchdown record and have some records?
I think this thing has less to do with winning than any decision Brady has made in the past.
Because he's got the rings.
Yeah, he's got all that. It's. I think it's really about him. It is. It's more of a selfish decision. His happiness, his production. Because he knows that part of the reason he didn't have a market this past year is because his numbers were bad and people aren't smart enough to see through it.
What, Murray, what?
Shane Steichen.
Uh-huh.
Stitchin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
He's 34 years old and he's from the Ken Wisenhunt tree.
Okay. I mean, Brady looks at that kid and says, what? No, I'm not working with you.
No, definitely not.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Bill Belichick's legacy on the line.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Certainly, Tom's, you know, an iconic figure in this organization, and nobody respects Tom more than I do. But I respect all the other players and all the other coaches in this organization, too. And so, you know, I think that everybody that is part of it is an important part of it. And I want to, you know, give the proper attention and communication and detail and thought into my input into those decisions. But any decisions made is it's not an individual decision. There are other people involved, and so there has to be some type of communication, understanding, agreement, whatever you want to call it. And that's not a one-way street. I hope you can understand that. Just one person just can't decide what everybody else is going to do.
Bill Belichick, season-ending press conference on Tom Brady. allowed for the fact that Tom's an iconic figure in the organization. That caught your eye at the time, right?
Totally, because he doesn't throw around compliments like that. I mean, it's hard enough to get Belichick to say that Brady's a great football player. The word iconic? You ever remember him using that word in 20 years?
No.
I'm talking about his own player?
No.
I mean, he practically, you know, covered himself in butter when he was talking about Aaron Rodgers last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Maybe he asked about Carl Banks or Lawrence Taylor. Yeah.
But a current player?
No.
I mean, it totally struck me. And then listening to him right there, I wonder if he knew too. You know, it's a two-way street. I hope you understand that.
So what he's implying there is that, you know, Tom's got to want to be here and that it takes two to tango. He's got to want to make a deal. But he was talking about communication there. So that's a funny way to show communication, Bill, by never calling Tom the entire offseason and never giving him an offer. What kind of communication is that? Nonsense.
At the end of the day, they didn't want each other. I mean, that's how, you know, I keep saying they didn't want him. They didn't want him because I think the Patriots are trying to hide behind it a little bit. At the end of the day, Brady did have the right to make the final decision, and he chose to leave. So he clearly didn't want to be here under the terms they wanted him to be here under, and they weren't willing. But they didn't want him either. Don't let him kid you on that. That, to me, is why that you focus on that part of it. Something happened that got him to the point where he said, if I want to walk, you have to let me walk. None of this franchise tag bullcrap. Not that they would have done it anyway. Paying him $32.5, $33 million a year for 1 year, they wouldn't have done that anyway.
Well, just back to it. I don't think anyone has more riding on this than Bill Belichick. No one. Because they hold it, they being the football world, you, certain fans, certain people hold it against him. What's your record without Tom? What were you without Tom Brady? We hear that about Bill Belichick, and we don't hear that about any other coach hardly. We really don't. Not like that. Oh, it's like the first thing people say. They know his record. 41-57 before Tom Brady, before he got to New England. What was Bill Walsh's record without Joe Montana? Does anyone have that one? Because when Bill Walsh took over San Francisco in 1979, he went 2-14. And then the next year, he went 6-10 when Montana didn't take over till the very end of the year. And then the third year in 1981, they won the Super Bowl, and they were off and running from there. But does anyone hold that record with Steve DeBerg against Bill Walsh? No one even knows what it is. No,
never comes up.
And I think it really ultimately comes down to Bill's icy cold personality and the way that he's won, and people want to look at him as a cheater. Like, they're going to hold all those kind of things against him. And just even from a football standpoint, he's a defensive-minded guy. I'm sure. I mean, that's one of the things I kind of hold against him. I'm going to be watching for, like, all right, you've hit on some quarterbacks and you were able to figure out that Brady should be the guy over Bledsoe, which at the time was, you know, people forget, was a bit of a difficult situation because, you know, Bledsoe was the franchise. But I don't know. I'll be interested to see. Like, you kind of got, to me, it's like you got lucky with the guy. That's all over the last 20 years. So let's see.
I mean, Walsh was, his personality was benevolent.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was beloved.
He was kind of
gentle.
Yeah, sort of like, you know, almost like a professor or something, yeah. Really. He was really gentle in that way. And so people loved him. They loved Walsh. He was fatherly or grandfatherly in some way. Bill? Oh, please, they hate him. They can't stand him. They find him to be rude, disrespectful, arrogant, all of that. And so this is where it bites him in the ass.
You hear about what's his record without Tom Brady. You hear about, well, what's your coaching tree ever done? And those things never get held against other coaches. And it's so true. I never hear, well, what's Don Shula's coaching tree? I never hear that about Don Shula. I never hear Don Shula, well, what did you win without Bob Greasy? What did you ever win without Bob Greasy? I never hear that. Never hear it. But Bill has to own it. He wears it. And that's why this is so important for him. He can't fall on his face. If he falls on his face without Brady, he's going to own that, unlike any other coach. Tom in Worcester, your thoughts?
You know, I'm tired of hearing about Brady wanting to leave here. Brady didn't want to leave here. Belichick forced him out. Everybody knows that. They were sick of each other, no doubt. But all he had to do was give him a little respect to the contract. And as far as Bill winning all these big games, yeah, Bill's a great coach down with the Super Bowl game plan in some of those games, but you don't win those big games without the greatest quarterback ever. The players in the AFC Championship games, the players in the Super Bowl. The guy's the best quarterback ever, and he's not going to retire as a Patriot. And Belichick's going to fall flat on his face in all those big games without him. You don't win a Super Bowl without a Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, let's see. You don't win a Super Bowl without a Hall of Fame quarterback? I don't know. Joe Flacco won one, and Brad Johnson won one, and Trent Dilfer won one, and Jeff Hostetler won one. So you can win big games without a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's happened. And if Bill can do it without a Hall of Fame quarterback, then it's going to shut everybody up on that. And he needs it.
Oh, he does need it.
He wants it, I know.
Oh, no question. I mean, again, I sort of more philosophically in line with the caller. game on the line, fourth quarter, third and 10, who do you want throwing it? I just think a lot of times in that league, it comes down to that. And so I lean quarterback, and I always have.
Joe in New York, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Go, Joe.
Hey, so by Felger's own logic, which I agree with, the Pats should have kept Brady. And what I'm talking about is your take that the Giants fans are idiots for not wanting to take him and let Daniel Jones develop in the meantime. Similarly, I think Kraft is just as dumb as all those Giants fans for not keeping Brady and letting Stid the Kid develop for another year or two. And then, you know, he'd be ready when he actually gets on the field because he didn't look ready against the Jets. Plus, watching Brady play for the Bucks is going to be like seeing Jordan in a Wizards uniform. It's going to be gross.
Not if he lights it up. Jordan was out of basketball for 3 years when he returned to the Wizards. People forget this. He didn't go right from the Bulls to the Wizards.
No, there was a big gap.
He was out for three freaking years.
He was a moose when he played for
them. He was. He was out of shape. He was toast.
So it's not a comparison. Sorry, it's not. The thing about the Pats could have done exactly what the Giants did, I guess so, except are the Giants coming off of 6 Super Bowl championships and 9 Super Bowl wins, and do they need to reset the roster and the payroll? And the? I mean, they're in a different spot. The Patriots are the one team that doesn't need Brady. They need to turn the page and go into the next era. Because if you hang on too long to the old one, it's tougher going into the next one. So they're the only team that's in that position. I mean, practically speaking, is what I mean. I would not compare that to the Giants. I would not compare that to these other teams. There's teams that I think should have taken the chance on Brady. The Pats don't have to take any chances. They have to reload.
I mean, they've won enough. And Brady also reached a point where he didn't have to win and he could leave. I mean, at my core, all the politics and all the other hot air aside.
And can I say one more thing, too? If the Giants had invested in Brady and said, here's Daniel Jones, your guy, he's a TB12 acolyte, we're all on the same page, full contract, full everything, Brady would have invested in the kid. If Brady had come back here for another crappy offer, tail between his legs, working for a coach he doesn't like, he wouldn't give Stidham the time of day, just like he didn't give Garoppolo the time of day. It wouldn't be the same thing. That would not have been the condition here.
I mean, the breakup really was best for both of them. I think Brady's going to end up benefiting from it, too. I think he's going to get recharged, and he wants to prove some people wrong again. And you said this the other day, and it's worth repeating, this whole idea that, you know, it was the 199th pick. He gets to stick it to everybody who passed on him. He can do that again.
Yes, sure can. The whole league.
He can totally do it again. He can look at teams like the Niners and Tennessee and all these teams that maybe are a quarterback away and said, you guys didn't want me? Are you stupid? Are you stupid? And go, and if he were ever to win with Tampa Bay, you know, Darlington said this on ESPN. He does enter a different strat. If he wins with Tampa Bay, all of a sudden,
I don't think he does. He's already in that stratosphere.
But don't you think that it almost puts him ahead of Jordan?
Well, I mean, of course it elevates, but I think he's there as it is. Does it put him ahead of Jordan? Oh, sure.
Like, he could become the greatest team sport athlete of all time if that happens.
He's certainly in that conversation right now, that's for sure.
I mean, it almost... Tampa Bay?
But I don't think he has anything to lose.
Oh, no. Very little to lose.
I think if he goes there and doesn't succeed, he's 43. He's not supposed to succeed. If Bill can't win without Brady, he's porked. People are going to hold that against him.
Especially if it's looked at as him pushing Brady out the door.
But, you know, I mean, and certainly maybe Brady's motivated to prove the Patriots wrong. You didn't think I was worth this contract? I'm going to show you. So that's fine for Brady, except I think the Pats are the one team that didn't need him. The one, and I know there's a few others. Kansas City certainly doesn't need him, etc. But, you know, if you want to say the Pats could have done exactly what I want these other teams to do, it's different. It's different. The Patriots are coming from a different place. When we come back, more of your calls on the Brady fallout, Brady to Tampa Bay, even though it's not official yet. Is that starting to catch your eye a little bit or open your eye? It's still not official. We'll update you on that after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.